Yeah. Okay. So let's pick up with, let's try to finish off for today, and then again when we come back after Yom Tov, we'll continue with the Dalet Reshuyos. And again, we'll try to do a quick job first just to get through. How much time do we have after Yom Tov? Like 2 weeks?
No. We have like 2 shiurim.
No. Seriously?
Yeah, because I think reading week is...
It's right after Yom Tov?
Yeah.
We have a week, maybe 3 shiurim.
Wow.
Well, we could do, we have the Bechina right after Pesach, and then we have like a week of shiurim before reading week.
Would that help?
Yeah, a couple of shiurim.
Yeah? Well, let me think about that. Okay. Okay, but I do want to continue because we're again within striking distance of doing all of this, and we really want to try as much as possible to finish off because we've done a lot of Akira Hanacha, Rishios issues. So, okay, we'll try to figure it out. So, at least today, let's try to get started with Rosh Hashanah. But first, let's finish off the last topic. So, the last thing that we were discussing was the Kiddush of Rav Sar Shalom Gaon, which gets discussed again, gets picked up by the Chachmei Provence, right, and Rabbi Yerucham and others, and some people like it, some people don't, they change it a little bit. It gets picked up by the Beis Yosef, some of the Poskim weigh in on it as well, some of the Poskim really consider it, maybe, I think the Mishnah Berurah really wants to be machmir for it, l'halacha. But either way, it's a very fascinating shita, and we discussed already whether or not the formulation of it, in terms of whether the Iser then turns into a Chiyuv or not. The last thing that we were discussing about it was the question of whether or not it is actually identical to Omed Lekatev, or the possibility that maybe it's something in between Lafush and Lekatev, and that it's not that we're just expanding the definition of Lekatev according to this shita, but we're acknowledging that this is something possibly in between, and that there might be, I think we were considering the possibility that there might be two dafkamina for that. Number one, whether or not we limit it to, whether or not this chiddush is limited to Dalet Amos Pashus Arabim, or will apply also in Chilul Pashuyos, if we take the view that this is part of the Hagdara of Omed Lekatev, so we already know that Omed Lekatev also applies to Chilul Pashuyos. If, on the other hand, this is something in between Lafush and Lekatev, so then the possibility of distinguishing between Rishus HaRabim and Chilul Pashuyos would then depend on something else, and that is whether Rishus HaRabim and the Hagdara of Akira Bahanacha, and what it takes, to be more specific, what it takes to, to be Mavkia Akira Rishona, is that different when it comes to the role of Akira in Rishus HaRabim as opposed to the role of Akira in Chilul Rishuyos. Again, we already have that phenomenon, maybe Lekula, maybe Lechumra, right, with regard to the, Kapos Tmarim, and obviously, Midya Lechatzishir, other things as well, where the role of Akira and Hanacha might be different. So if the role of Akira and Hanacha is different, then maybe the vulnerability or the durability, as the case may be, if you're talking about Lekula or Lechumra, of Akira in Rishus HaRabim is different. And that would be, in theory, that would have impact on whether something, in between an actual hanacha and halicha, right, would have the ability to be mafkia the akira arishona. So then maybe we could devise, a justification for saying that this chiddush of Rav Sar Shalom Gaon, that if you stop, come to a full physical stop, but your purpose is to continue, not in terms of the physical aspect of it, the load and so on, even that, there might be different views, but, this is more of a legal stop for the sake of continuing. So if that's something between Lekatev and Lafush, so is it possible that, this particular status is limited to Dalet Amos. It's said by Dalet Amos, maybe it wouldn't apply elsewhere. That's what some of you were suggesting. I think that can only be possible if you take these two assumptions, that it is in between the Katef and the Fush, and that the way Dalet Amos works, an Akira and Dalet Amos, and therefore being Mafkia Akira and Dalet Amos, is different than Akira and Dalet Amos. The other possible Nafkamina would be in terms of, this is how it came up, the Taz, right? So what about the Taz? What does the Taz actually say? So the Taz in Reish Samach Vav, Sif Katan Dalet, says that even if you accept this Chiddush of Rav Sar Shalom Gon, right, that Amida L'Shem Halicha, right, Nimsheches is going to be considered a Halicha, right, even if you take that that view, right, that's only going to apply when you continue, right? But when you're trying to involve another party, when it's Shnayim Shasuhu, when you're trying to pass it off to the next guy, so that he should complete the Hanacha, right, he should continue to be Mamshich this object. So the Taz says that's called Davar Chadash or Akira Chadasha, and everybody will agree under those conditions that it doesn't work. So that is not so obvious, as we discussed, but if you want to accept it, it can be explained in several ways. One is that this is just another, you know, permutation of, you know, what Rabbi Kiveger raised in the context of Lafush, and what the Achronim and the Chazonish, you know, raised in the context of Lekateif, and that is that whenever we're dealing with someone else, you know, the object being lanuach, being nach, is different than the continuation and being considered a maisa hanacha mitzad hagavra. So that's one possibility. Or, which I preferred, and I think that was what Doron was trying to add at the end as well, and that is that, no, it's more than that. If this whole yisod is the idea that basically it's considered hemsheikh maisa hagavra because he's stopping in order to continue, so that's going to be limited to his personal action. It's part of its betzurah to him and to his halicha. But the second you get somebody else involved, even forgetting that whole other issue, this is a little bit different than that other issue because you're trying to, fellow's trying to continue your action. But the point is that this is such a tentative hemshech ha'akira that it's only going to be hemshech ha'akira if you do the hanacha, and therefore it continues to be betzurah to you. But in terms of shnayim shasu, the very fact that someone else is involved, that's not going to apply. So the question is, this chiddush of the Taz, that when it comes to a second party, that this this doesn't exist, is this true also in Lekateif? Would you say it in Lekateif or not? So if we say that the Hagdara of Lekateif is expanded according to Rav Sar Shalom Go, then you just plug it in. So whatever the Taz says about this, he's saying about Lekateif. If we think that this is something in between Lekateif and Lafush, again, a kind of like a, you know, almost like a permutation of like a Benazai kind of a thing, so then it's quite possible that this Chiddush of the Taz will be limited to Amida, right, L'shem Hemshech, you know, to avoid the Iser, L'mdoas Iser. But it will not apply in the case of the Kateif. In the Kateif, it's considered to be Mahalech, and since it's Mahalech, so therefore, Shnayim Shasu would apply as well. Then, I didn't find it, but I think Eli said that he... Did you find it? Thought that the Prima Gadda made that Chiluk?
I
looked at the Mishpzal Zav there, I couldn't find it.
Okay, you might have been somewhere else. I just wanted to know if the Kilon
mentions it. You thought either the Eliyahu Rabbah or the Prima Gadda?
It wasn't either, it could have been a different one.
Okay. Again, Eliyahu Rabbah, I didn't get a chance to look up, but you know, in the back of the, I did look up the Prima Gadamon on that Taz. There, he doesn't say it, but it could be that he does. It makes you thought you saw that he makes that exact distinction.
It might not have been
that Omid Lekateif Shnayim Shasuhu might be Asur, but not this Chiddush Rav Sar. That's what you thought you saw.
I thought I saw one of
those Akelam
say that
Huadin
Lekateif.
Oh, Huadin Lekateif. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. The other way.
Yeah.
Okay. So that, I think, is not as much of a Chiddush. I think the Pashtus is that Rav Sar Shalom Gon is just not a third category, but that it's simply the expanded understanding of Lekateif. But that's what this should depend on anyway. So then I just wanted to mention, you know, two other things before we start talking about the Roshuyos, and that is a similar question, but with regard to a non-Jewish partner, right? The case of the Taz is where I want to get this object to a certain place, and I'm doing it through pachos pachos, you know, mi daladamos, right? So it's me, and I'm also mobilizing, you know, my Jewish neighbor, right? I go three amos, and then I give it to him for three amos, you know, and then he gives it to the next guy. It's like a relay, you know, I wouldn't say relay race, but it's a relay kind of a apparatus. But what if we're talking not about two Jews, but a Jew and a non-Jew? So we already know that's a little bit of the discussion. It's in Tosis on Dav Gimel Amud Aleph, right, about giving mizonos to a non-Jew. Right, you shouldn't be encouraging him to be doing hotzah either, but of course anything that he does on his own initiative is a different matter. But so the question basically of Amir Lakum and so on. What about, you know, a kind of Shnayim Shasu with the non-Jew, right? You do the Akira and he'll do the Hanacha. So that would be also a problem. You know, that would be prohibited, generally speaking, in Hilchot Shabbos. So what happens in that case? The fact that we're dealing with a non-Jew, obviously, is a further reason to be Mekel, both in terms of the Chomer HaIsur per se, and also in terms of, you know, seeing this as Hemsheikh Echad, this idea that it's an apparatus and this is the way of moving the object. You would see that differently if you were talking about the teamwork, you know, not necessarily planned teamwork, but the way that it works out between the Jew and the non-Jew. There's more reason to think of these actions as being discrete, especially if there is seemingly an Amida Lafush in between. So this is a discussion in the Nosei Kalim, and it's just hard to know if this is the issue, but I think some Achronim think that it is, and that's here in Shin Chaf Hei. Just one second. Yeah. So in Simon Shin Chaf Hei, Mutar lezamein akum b'shabbes, mutar litein mizonos lefanav b'chatzer. Right, this is all part of that halacha. La'achlan, right? V'im natlan v'yatza. If he himself takes the initiative and picks it up and walks out with it, then ein nizkakin lo, meaning he can do what he wants. He's a free agent. He doesn't have shvira shabbos. And then v'dafka sha'akum b'chatzer. Avlum av b'chutz pashat yad lifnim shadua shiyotzienu. Olita lo shar chafatzim shederech lahotzi asur, right? Afilu mod bifnim, afilu mava chafatzim shel akum sharo eni odeya shar chafatzim shel akum. Okay, so basically, you shouldn't be partnering with him an akira and anacha. You know, if he sticks his hand in and you do the akira and he does the hanacha, that is prohibited as well. Okay, what does this have to do with us? So here you have an interesting. It's already comes from the Rishonim, but just to summarize it here in the Shulchan Aruch. So the Magen Avraham, Sif Katan Bey, says, Avalo, when the Shulchan Aruch says, Liten Mizonos Lefanav, so the Magen Avraham says, Avalo, Biyado, Dehava Akira, V'ayin Masha Kasavnu, and so on. So he basically says you should not put it into the guy's hand. And the Eliyahu Rabbah, once again, makes his presence felt in this sugya, says that it's not a problem at all, because it's like omed lafush, basically. He, meaning the non-Jew, isn't walking, he's not moving, right? He's going to start walking after you give this to him. It's like, you know, loading him up, and then he does akiras gufa, because he's in a state of lafush after he receives the object from your hand. So that's not considered, you know, Akira, combination of Akira and Hanacha, that's considered simply Lafush, and Akira and Hanacha belongs completely to him. That's, again, I don't know if the Eliyahu Rabbah here, but the Mishnah Brura al-Atar, you know, quotes a part of the discussion, both in the Mishnah Brura itself, and in the Bir Halacha, where he expands on it, and basically adopts a position or the kula, let's say, of the Eliyahu Rabbah, is an important issue, halacha l'maisa, you can imagine. One second. Where am I here? Yeah, Shin Chaf Hei. So, the Mishnah Brura just comments. Kosov poskim davka litel lefan, according to the Magen Avraham. Who yikachem be'atzmo shari. Aval litel liyado asur shamiyotzi lishus harabin. The nimsul rafreya the yisrael asur akina. This is a yachid. The asur. Kidol kamam b'simin shin memzat. B'das elio rabba. The mutar litel lo af biyado kishu b'chaser. Kivin shein nosin lo amanas lohotzio. That's also one issue. I didn't say he gives it to him with the intention of his taking it out. The kivin da ene yehudi omeid bifnim kishiyotzi lechutz chashiv osa biatzmo hakira yesh lahakel bazeh kidvarev kamosha kasabim ber halacha vimei yisrael ene mosa liyadu ala akum lokeach miyada yisrael lekula alma mutar kishilokeach amanas lecho b'chatzer taf kishiyotzi ala loasa yisrael hakira kla. So if you look at the ber halacha, he has this whole longer arichus where he tells you why he thinks that you should be makel according to the Elio Rabba. So again, this could be about several different issues. But certainly one of the issues that it seems to be touching on is this question. Let's say, you know, I gave it to him and then he stops, but clearly, right, the idea seems to be that, you know, he's carrying it out, you know, he makes a brief stop, but this isn't his terminal stop, right? He's just pausing after receiving the object before taking it out. Is that considered Akira Rishona or not? So it could just be you plug it in to our issue, right? Except our two, you know, points of difference here. One is the intention to accomplish this the beheter? No. It's not as bad as the case of Rabsar Shalom Gon, where basically the guy, the Yisrael, wants to get this object, you know, to its final destination, and the only way to do that is to keep, you know, Omeid Lafushing, you know, within every Dalet Amos. And here, of course, it's a little bit different. I mean, there are two people, they have no relationship to each other necessarily, or even what you want. It's just not as compelling a case to extend the idea of Lekateh. But if the issue of Rabsar Shalom Gon, as some of Farshim have it, is not so much about, you know, being Magdir or expanding Omeid Lekateh, but it's about limiting Omeid Lafush, meaning what happens when you have an Omeid Lafush which isn't the final destination, any Omeid Lafush which is just, you know, temporary is Bechlal Omeid Lekateif. So then this becomes a serious question, because it might be true that technically he stops before he leaves, but when you put it in his hand, basically, right, we all know that this is not where he's going to keep it. That's one. And number two, the second element, of course, is, again, this combination of Yisrael and a non-Jew. The idea that Yisrael and Yisrael, even Shnayim, in other words, that would be a relay team, or some sort of apparatus, right, which would therefore be considered, you know, to be a method of Tiltel Dalet Amos Purchas HaRabim, you know, or Bein Rishuyos, is one thing. And to, even though there is a prohibition for the Yisrael and the, to do this in a way that the Akum carries it, or even his Meniach after his Akira, would still be considered his Akira at least. That, of course, is far cry from seeing this, you know, as a mechanism to be Metalta Dalet Amos Purchas HaRabim. So the point is that here I think the Chiddush is the a little bit more in the Magen Avraham. If you hold like the Mekilim, then, you know, there could be a number of reasons why you're making. But having said that, part of the discussion does seem to be whether or not his pause, his, you know, being in a state of rest before he leaves, is considered to be Omeid Lafush or not, and therefore belongs, and especially in the Shnayim Shasu context, with all the qualifications I just made, it still belongs into this in this discussion. Okay, so that's the discussion of the poskim in Simin Shin Chafei. And then finally, yeah.
Right over there, the Matzah Shagel adds on.
Yeah.
He comments and he says
on the Magen Avraham.
On the Magen Avraham, yeah. He says Miu Lanias Daiti Dafka Im Yesh Lachush Shagoy Yatsa Miyad Lachutz Aval Im Yesh Shagoy Ktsas Pachatzer Letzarech Atzma to have like Omeid Lafush Im Kain Batla Akira Rishona Kmo Shkasa Blei Lachim In Resh Sam Tzayin Tzav Kamis.
Oh, excellent. So he clearly, you know, puts it in context of our previous discussion. Excellent. Again, I think not all of the Mekilim do that, but I think the Elio Rabba also does it, and Machzor Shekel on the Magen Avraham, very good, excellent, as well. Okay, so finally, yeah.
the early rabbi also, he seems to make a double formulation. One, which is where he's saying that the guy is doing his own kibbutz.
Yeah.
But he also seems to say that there's a that there's importance of Yisrael not having kibbutz boxes.
Right. In other words, if he, and that, by the way, the Bir Halacha seems to have that kibbutz as well. Because if the Yisrael has the kavana that the Akum should, or the non-Jew should take it out, right, then even if he is going to stop, right, that still might constitute, it, you know, at least Akira, if not, you know, some sort of Amir Lakum Shmuz Akira Bahanaka.
Which is everything it is.
I'm not sure. So I'm just not sure which it is of those two things. But either way, again, the idea that his kavana, meaning the kavana of the Yisrael, matters here, is consistent again with the idea that we're dealing with a kind of lekatef, but an extended idea of lekatef, or a limiting of lafush. But that's a very correct point. And that actually, the Chafetz Chaim is really big on that point, meaning that issue of kavana. So when he gives it to him, what's his kavana? I think I already read that in Mishnah Berurah very quickly, but in Bir Halacha he really expands on that idea, you know, considerably. Okay, so that's as far as Omed Lafush, Omed Likatef. As you can see, it's a very lively issue in discussion, both pragmatically, in the case of Sugyan Kufnun Gimel, as well as in these further applications of Shnayim Shasu and Yisrael Da'akum, etc. There's a whole discussion about this. And finally, just one other point, because since we're discussing the problem of the permissibility of being mavir, pachos midalad amos, in order to you know, get something to a final destination. So earlier in the year we talked about, earlier even in the Siman, we talked about that being a machlokas of Rishonim, seemingly, and the question about chatzi shir. Is it chatzi shir or chatzi malacha? Right, when you do less than dalad amos, and how that depends on the nature of dalad amos. So all of this becomes very crucial. Now we have an additional factor, and that is the question of how we are magdir, not just the space within dalad amos, but omed lafush and omed lekatef within dalad amos, especially when, right, your goal is to go beyond. There's, of course, a third element, and that is simply the gzera itself. Aren't you worried that, you know, you're just going to forget and go dalad amos with all your best intentions? That also could be a basis for there being an isur. Right, so there are three issues to consider in terms of discussing heter versus isur of tok dalad amos. Right? Zera, chatzi shir of some sort, and the status of omed lekatef and omed lafush. Either way, on a pragmatic level, of course, it's a very important question. And it's a question which is noveya from that very sugya that, you know, Rav Sar Shalom Gon and some of the other discussions try to define lafush. So what is the evidence of the Gemara itself in terms of walking less than dalad amos, whether it's usur, whether it's mutter, what the conditions are? Yosef?
So the Gemara in Shabbos says that in the case of Misha Hechshech, so if there's a goy around, you should first try to give it to the goy, otherwise you should put it on an animal or give it to a cheresh or to a katan, and then if none of those work, so then you can take it to the Hamas Dr. Dalas.
Yeah, so basically, if you look at the Gemara there on Kufnun Gimel, there's a hierarchy. Right? And it's exactly what you said. Right? You have the Mishnah and the Gemara. Just look at it for a second. If you could speak for a second. Mishi Hechshech Bederech, right? The Mishnah.
Mishi Hechshech Bederech, Nosin Gizel Nachi, Vimeini Monachi, Micha Rachamor, Higel Chatea Bitino, Nosin Hakelam, and Tal Mishavis.
And then you get to the Muksa question, what are you allowed to do? But basically, the Mishnah says that if you're traveling and you get stuck, right? So, Nosin Kisel Nachi. Okay?
Okay.
Otherwise, Chamor. And then the Gemara explains what the basis of all this is, which is my time in Shor Rabbanan. So actually, the irony is that Dalad Amos Shusarabim is the problem here, the Chashash, right? And Therefore, if not for you need a justification to be able to do this, even though, you know, maybe you're going less than $1. Have to figure that out. Let's assume you're going more at the moment. Amar Rava, that the Gemara says.
Daf Kisa from the Tzia Lo.
Yeah.
Kisa Ketana. Ma'ad Etei Magor Adin Afilu Metzia, Ba'ad Eksani Kisa, Orcha Demoza Eksani. Mashmo.
Yeah. So basically only Kiso, because that's where you have Adam Bahu Al Mamono. Meaning the whole impression of the Gemara is that this is something you really shouldn't be doing, and you need a special heter. Okay. Although, again, the heter, you know, seems to be based on the protection that we have, the protectionism of Dalet Amos B'Shesarabim. We're worried about Dalet Amos B'Shesarabim. All this should be Asur, but Adam Baal Al-Mamona, but then we're going to limit it to Kisa. That's the Shaklam Tari the Gemara. Okay. Then the Gemara goes on further.
V'lo
Amar V'lo Amar
V'lo Amar V'lo Asur Yadei if you already picked up the Metziah, so then it's like it's you're
that's a Kiddush, because you might have said that, you know, old money, new money, right? The new money quickly becomes old money. That's what basically, I'm not talking about it in terms of, culture and society, of course, but in terms of this particular halacha, Adam Bo'ol Al-Mamono, there's no such thing as old money or new money, right? Once it's yours, you become, apparently quite attached to it, right? Okay. Ikadamri, or the Gemara's not sure about it. Ikadamri. Yeah. So it's a teku whether or not the old money quickly becomes, or how quickly it becomes, new money. That's a shakantarya of the Gemara. You need a justification in order to accomplish this act of getting your money home, right? And Metzia's out, Kiss is in. Right, the mitziah, that becomes kiss is a safek, and that's the halacha. Okay, then you have the Gemara on the Amud Beis, just very quickly. Right, the Gemara says on Kuf Nun Gimel Amud Beis, what does the Gemara say? In Shabla Nachri, right, it's like few lines down. In Shamlo Nochri, Velo Chamar. The Gemara discusses what about Cheres, what about Choto, what about Katan, right? Sounds like, Taurus Ladarim a little bit, right? Yeah, go ahead. Vayeshkan. My, what's a my? Amr Rabbi Yitzchak. Yeah. So this is a fascinating Gemara. The very idea, that you keep halachic knowledge, under your hat, is a very intriguing idea, right? It reminds us of the Gemara in the end of Menachos, right? Mitzvah laomra b'fnei amaretz, asa laomra b'fnei amaretz, right? Okay, go ahead. You have to be wise in what you reveal when you reveal, sometimes. Yeah. There was another apparatus, and they didn't want to reveal it, and that's right exactly what we've been discussing. Okay, just according to Psar Shalom Gaon, that means by sitting down or placing it on the ground, and according to the majority of Rishonim, right, and Gaonim, and so on, it means Omed Lafush. But Omed Lafush is the other tactic, and why do they want to reveal it? Yeah. So to me, that's a little bit disappointing, just because I would have thought that it would have been a kind of a Chatzi Shir, or, as I say, maybe, this concern on a Drabana level for this Omed Lafush and Omed Lakatef issue. But at least according to the simple reading of the Gemara, and this is consistent with what the Gemara said before, we're very protective of Dalet Amos Birshus Harabim. It's just very interesting that in general, we're very protective of Dalet Amos Birshus Harabim, even more than we're protective of other issues in Malacha. Again, that reminds us again, maybe even more than we're protective of Chilul Freshuyos, right? Again, going back to the Gemara about Megillah, Shofar, and Lulav, right? Where again, why Chashina and Shemi Avrenu Dalet Amos Birshus Harabim, and everybody is scrambling for the answers, many of which we already know, but whether it's because it's Hilchos HaGemiri or just because it's all quantitative, whatever it is, there seems to be greater concern about people violating Dalai Lama's Precious Arabim than there does, maybe because it's an invisible line, could be various explanations, or because it's just quantitative. Whatever it is may reflect something about the nature of Precious Arabim in either direction, but this Gemara reflects that as well. Okay, so this is the Gemara that basically says that pachos pachos midal ramos is something which should be avoided, and that's what we find as well in the Shulchan Aruch. It's paskin this way in a couple of places as well. In Shin Mem Tes Beis, for example, right, Arba Amos Sha'amru Hein Alachsonon Shenimsebem Chamisha Amos, etc. Potter Avalos. And then again, Sifei. Also, Laholu Chepetz Pachos Pachos Midal Ramos Afila Ben Hashmashos Afila Bekarmelis. This Afila Bekarmelis, the Rishonim already ask, isn't that a Gzeira Legzeira? Because a Karmelis is only Drabanan, and this is only clearly an Issa Drabanan. So isn't that Gzeira Legzeira? And the Rishonim say, it's, you know, when it comes to Karmelis, we often find that we're not worried about Gzeira Legzeira, which also may say something important about Karmelis. Maybe Karmelis isn't just a separate Gzeira, but Midrabanan, again, it's a kind of an extension of Brishus Arabi. Okay. Not just Agar. Anyways, that's what Shulchan Aruch tells us. And again, Reish Samach Vav Zayin, which we saw before. This is repeated, or this is made pretty clear as well, that this is pretty much how we paskin. In any moshum echad mikol elu yital telenu pachos pachos midal ramos v'dafke kiso o metzia shebo liyado avalimbol bo liyado lo. This is based on the Gemara that Dalai Lama's is only a bidyeved, not a lechatchil. The problem with all this is, and that's what I just wanted to speak about for a couple of minutes, is why, Kevin? Why are we making such a fuss about this? It seems like a pretty explicit Gemara. It's important. I mean, it's definitely practically important. Even conceptually, it's pretty important. In terms of the Gzeira of Dalai Lama's, it might explain other things. And it might tap into some conceptual point, too, about Dalai Lama's, I said. But whose shita is particularly important? Yakir? The Rav. How'd you get all the way back there? Yeah. So what is the Rambam? What's the issue of the Rambam? The Rambam seems to go against the Gemara, although it isn't explicitly against the Gemara. It's only against the Gemara if you put the two Gemaras together. What do I mean by that? Well, what does the Rambam actually say, first of all? One second. And where does he say it? He says in two places, right? Where is it? Perek Vav. I think I wrote it down somewhere. Perek Vav Halacha Chaf Beis. And Perek Chaf Halacha Vav and Zayin. We should also add to this mix the Gemara in Eruvin, and the Rambam's talk about that too. What's the Gemara in Eruvin? Just to finish to fill in the picture. Yaakov? Gemara in Eruvin? Speaks about what? What would it speak about? Well, not Eruvin. Right. Perek what?
Almost done.
Exactly. Hamotzi Tefillin. So what's the Gemara speaking about?
Tefillin. If you find Tefillin, what are you supposed to do with it?
What's he supposed to do with the Tefillin that he finds? We're very, very always, you know, display, you know, excessive reverence for Tefillin. Right? So what are you supposed to do if you find Tefillin in the middle of the Rishus HaRabim? Right? You want to make sure to protect it. Correct? So what do you do? So what do you do according to the Gemara in Eruvin?
Two options that were suggested.
You either wear it home,
right?
Even though maybe you shouldn't be wearing it on Shabbos, but okay, that's what you got to do, right? Or if you can wait it out till after Shabbos, just wait there. That would be obviously a great solution. But if you can't, then what do you do? You do pachos pachos. That's also the Gemara here on Sadi Bab Amud Beis, right? One second. That's what the Gemara says. that the Gemara here? Tadivam Bada base is fine. We'll get to that in a second. Yeah, where's the line? What?
The very end.
Okay, exactly. So, and then the Gemara has the comment on Tzadivam Bebeis, which becomes important for the Rambam, and that is, what's better to do? Right? Is it better to do it, you know, just pachas by yourself? Or with a relay? Right? What's the issue there? What's the issue of the relay? What's the question? On the one hand, if you do it by yourself, right, it's much quieter. It's lo avsha milsa. On the other hand, the severity or the prohibition is weaker when it's shnayim shasu. So that's the Gemara's discussion. Okay. Either way, it's perfectly clear that if you have other options to get the tefillin home, that you should not be doing pachos midalid. You could do pachos midalid only if this is your only option. Okay. So basically, if you put that Gemara together with the Gemara in Kufnun Gimel, so that means it's kiso, because of Adam Bahu Alma Mono, right? Nitzia is excluded. At least it's excluded from Chamoro and, you know, and Nachri, right? And what we find is that Kiso and Tfilin are going to be permitted b'di'eved, if you have no other choice, pachos midalad alos. Okay, that's the background. So what does the Rambam say now? Yakir? Now let's get to the Rambam for a second. Vav Chaf Beis and Chaf Vav and Zayin. And Yutes Chaf Dalet. Yutes Chaf Dalet is what he says about Tefillin. You have that? Go ahead. Read the Tefillin first. Say that again? Oh, do you have it though? Yeah, just read it as you have it.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I just didn't hear it. You were too modest in your. Yeah, these are the two options that you have, and that's what the Gemara is trying to figure out, which of those two options is better. Okay, good. So that's the Gemara. That's not a problem, because that's Gemara Neiruvin. Okay. What about Vav Chaf Beis and Chaf Vav Zayin? That you have?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Oh. So what does that mean? Sounds like on the one hand he's passing like the Gemara, which distinguishes between Mitzia and Kiso, but he does permit Mitzia Pachos Midalid Amos. The Hu Adin, that's what he says later on, Perek Chaf Halacha Vav and Zayin. Go ahead. Yeah, so the Rambam basically came up with a little bit of a chiddush, but the truth is that he talks about a case that's not in the Gemara. Right? The Gemara basically said, but the problem that all the... And what does Ravid say? Om Rav Ram? Is that Shibushu or something like that? Right? Right. And the Nosa Kelim, I'll explain, and basically this is what the Chachmei Loniel, right, asked the Rambam, the tshuva of the Rambam on this topic, which I just want to speak about for a couple of more minutes, or two more minutes, and that's it. And that is, they asked him this simple question, and that is, you see from Kufnun Gimel, or you see from the Gemara's Kufnun Gimel Amud Aleph to Kufnun Gimel Amud Beis, that it is preferable, right, to use a non-Jew or to use a chamor than it is to be metaltel pachos midalet amos. Correct? Once that's the case, so isn't it, we also see that while there's a heter for goy and for chamor and for cher shotav katan when it comes to kiso, there's no such heter with regard to metzia. So if you put those two points together, shouldn't you say that kol shekein, that there's no heter for pachos midalet amos? Because pachos midalet amos is the method of last resort, right? So if you can't move the metzia through the preferred apparatus, how could you move the metzia through the more problematic apparatus? That's basically why the Ravid says, that's what the Ravid means when he says, hareza meshubash. Right, and that's what the Chachmei Loniel basically asked the Rambam. How could you apply pachos pachos, which is more problematic, even to metzia, when the less problematic you don't apply? Oh. So that's just an interesting phenomenon. Right. And indeed, in the Shulchan Aruch, they pass it against the Rambam. So the Rambam basically answered this question. Kevin, you saw it?
Yeah.
What's the answer of the Rambam? First of all, he agreed, he admitted that you could argue with him. Right? In the end of the tshuva, he basically says, right, Zui daiti b'davar zeh, u'misha rotza lachlok yachlok, which is very rare for the Rambam. The Rambam usually doesn't take any prisoners. Right? But here, he's acknowledging that he's done some creative, let's say, you know, parshanut here. At the same time, he's not apologetic either, right? And he even says, Aval kolash elo shalachem la yardu la amkan. Right? So what is his solution, basically?
He says that it's different because it doesn't involve someone else.
Exactly. Basically, the Rambam says that there are two different issues here. And that's where, this is a great example. Again, this isn't such a conceptually important Rambam, obviously, but it is a great example of how the Rambam, A, doesn't take the easy way out, B, takes a global, understanding or path, to his psukim. Basically, the Rambam, integrated the Gemara's discussion in Erevin about tefillin, right, into the application to metzia. Right? In Erevin, the Gemara brings up the question of Avshaba Milsa. Right? Part of the problem is there's too much publicity about this. The Gemara says in Erevin, right, that it's preferred that he do it, might be preferred that he do it on his own, rather than mobilizing some help, even though from a, in one case you're basically endangering, you're courting the possibility of ze'oker, of being oker meniach, mitchila adsof dalet amos. So you're putting yourself in jeopardy for an isa d'oraisa. In the other case, right, for sure, the most that you can be involved with is ze'oker v'ze meniach. On the other hand, in terms of bad public relations, right, but we mean in this case in a substantive way, which is going to undermine people's clear perspective about what's also what's mutter, or just even if they know what's also and what's mutter, but you see too many kulas like that, it just makes you a little inured to Shmira Shabbos, at least to some of these details of Shmira Shabbos. So the point is, from that point of view, it's better to do it quietly and not involve other people. So basically, that is the chiddush of the Rambam. The Rambam says basically that there are two different factors in the Gemara. Again, he wasn't taking the easy way out; he was taking the hard way out. But this is what he truly believed based on the Gemara in Erevin. Meaning, when we take the view, when we ask the question, is there a linear hierarchy of better and preferred solutions here, right? Goy, Chamor, you know, Cheirishot of a Katan, Pachos, Pachos, Midal, and Amos. So all the Rishonim are saying, yes, there's a better and there's a worse. And, you know, that's one graph, I guess you would say. And the other graph is, you know, there are things that are, you know, justified, like tefillin and kiso, for very different reasons. One for kedusha reasons, the other for baal al mamono issues. And metzia, right, is on the bottom of that totem pole, or off that totem pole. So when you put this graph together with that graph, metzia for sure cannot be done, pachos pachos, midalad amos. And the Rambam says, no, there are two totally different issues here. One issue is with regard to the problem of av shamilsa, and the other is a question of the gzeira of Dalet Amos. And as far as these two things are concerned, you know, basically there are two different dinim. The problem of goy and chamor, this is what he gets from the Gemara in Erevin, even though it's only a suffik in Erevin about a different point. If you're going to do it anyway, is it better to do it with somebody or better to do it on your own? But the factor of Avshamilsa, Rambam applies, that's the reason why, and this is an important point, that's the reason why, on the one hand, let's say the other way, the reason why Dalet Amos is worse than Chamor and Goy and Cheirishot of a Katan is because of the Gzeira, right, Shema Yavirenu, Dalet Amos versus Arab. But from the perspective of Avshamilsa, actually, says the Rambam, the problem of Chamor and Goy and whatever is worse. Right? So, then you just have to weigh two different dinim. Now, in the tshuva, there's a piece missing that other Rishonim who had this tshuva added, and that needs to be, you know, presented, namely, they'll say, because you still have to explain the hierarchy, right? Why it is that Metzia is Dafka going to be effective here? So what's the answer to that?
That
Bahul al Mamono, right? Bahul al Mamono is both a Kula and a Chumra. Yeah, please. Are you quoting for the Ran?
Yeah, me
for
Ran.
Yeah, this is the Ran adds this line. Go ahead. Yeah. So basically what the Rambam ends up saying is very complex, but it makes a lot of sense. Right? But he admits in the end it's certainly not compelling. So basically what he says is Mitzia, right, is both better and worse than Kisa. You don't have the urgency of Adam Bo'ol Mamono on the one hand, but since you have your wits about you and you're not just, you know, completely, you know, in a frenzy, so there's less concern that you're going to violate the gzeira of Shemi Avirenu Dalet Amos Brishas Harabit. So even as we're more makil, I'm sorry, as we're more machmir when it comes to Chamor and Kis and Goy and Cheirishot of a Katan, right, we should actually be more makil when it comes to Dalet Amos Brishas Harabit. In other words, when it comes to the factor of Avshabe Milsa, right, so then, Mitzia doesn't justify Avsha Bamilsa. Because it's not Bo'ol Mamono. But when it comes to the factor of Gzeira, Shemi Avirenu Dalet Amos Peshus Harabim, Dafka the Kula, or the Dafka the Chumra, let's say, of Mitzia ends up being its Kula. And then Dalet Amos is actually preferred. So to the question, and this is, in addition to this being just a great example of how the Rambam uses, you know, all of Shas and all the factors, but on a more practical level, what emerges is, if you're talking about a, for the other Rishonim and just for the Gemaras, the hierarchy of Dalai Lama's Mishus HaRabin, you know, being the most problematic, as opposed to Goy, Chamor, even Cherishot of a Katan, according to the Rambam, is not 100% true. According to the Rambam, it's more complex than that. Dalai Lama's is less and more at the same time. As an objective Maisabera, or a kind of a Chatzi Shir, basically what the Rambam saying is, Pachos, Li Dalai Lama's is actually more Kal than the Isser of Amir La'akum, or Shvisas Behemto, or Shvisas Kata. It's only because, not in what it is, but what it could lead you to, which is the Doraisa, that's what makes it more Chamor. And as far as that is concerned, right, Bohol al Mamono ends up being a negative rather than a positive. So that Rambam, just once you know how he did it, actually is kind of an ingenious solution, which has important consequences as well. Okay, now let's move on to the next topic. Did you say there were two tshuvas in the Rambam?
Yeah, there's another one in Tav Samach Talit, I think.
In the Blau ones you're talking about. Or in the Paradar.
The Bar Ilan, Tav Samach Talit.
He's probably using the Blau. Yeah, so is it a different content or a different version of the same tshuva?
I think it's more or less the same, but he doesn't seem to leave open. He seems less unsure, like Mishra Ozer Yachlok.
Does he say anything substantively different, or it just doesn't have that part?
I didn't really notice anything substantially different.
Okay.
I don't know if other people did.
Okay, very good. Anyways, you should know that most of the... Yeah.
I don't know if you're remembering it wrong, but I think he seems to imply that he seems to imply that Thomas Kamos is completely what's our in all circumstances, which would be more against the Gemara.
What do you mean, all circumstances? To explain.
I thought that was a sheet all over.
Well, how do you explain the Gemara? As long as there's no problem of Vola Mamona, you mean? That's kind of what the point I was just making.
He's saying either the
Oh, that's the other tshuva you're saying.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So what I just said is not only true, but it's even more true than I thought. Okay. In other words, the first tshuva, and the tshuva that I'm reading, which I just have to copy the Parador one, the Simon Lamed Hey, but whatever it is in the Blau ones.
Simon Shin.
What is it?
Shin. That one is Shin. The one Shin. That we just read. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So in this one, he doesn't go that far. Right? He just says, 1 second. Because it was very interesting, just the discussion, right? Imatza Mitzia, Im Yachalach, Shechalamachshik, Im Lo Malicha Pachos Pachos, Vata Ata Baruch Hashem. Asher Flilcha Itzog Gura B'Torasar Kedosha, right, very nice. Kilo Neidal Lefareish Gemara, etc. Says Al Takni Tenu Atzmechem Im Enotem Kiravosai Haretem Chaverai Alufa Im Yudai. Very beautiful. Okay. Because the Rotsi Lahakshos Gam Rosh Yeshiva Shoyi B'Bavel Tafsal Shita Zuka Shigi Aleim. 1 second. Achibur Im Advar Makalim Shechalil Alechem Shistapku Lechem. Meaning, a lot of their questions were just ridiculous, but this was happened to be a legitimate one, right? Avokol Hashelos Elu Shalachem LaYordu LaOmko Chen Yerolim VeMetzia Shezeh Shechalak Rava Ben Kisla Metzia LaOmer Ela Liten HaMetzia LaNachri LaNicha LaChamar Avlalicha Pachos Pachos Midalid Lo Shari Pachos Pachos Midalid Eina Shnuya Kedei Sheyoma Rava Dafke Kisa VaMetzia Lo. Meaning, don't make this kal v'chomer from kufnun gimel amud aleph to kufnun gimel amud beis. You don't have evidence for that. Im tomru maishna hameha shazu alocha pachas midalad amos sina gedola yeshba velo av shemilsa kemoshin is bayar shem bamotzi tzvil. This is what we just explained. The eno tzarech davar velo ishachar l'sado, right? referring to that Gemara. But layakir ba'adam, b'leyan echbaz, b'lepika chonakal shlamar, shema hevir, arba amos. That's where you have to just add the one line, right? Because it's not bahul v'mamonu. Zui daiti b'davar zem, yishro salach l'kiyacho. So the other one, just read the language again.
From Tosafot Daled?
Yeah. He's saying there he's adding and saying that pochos pochos is mutar legamri. It's just the chashash that you're going to be over, and that's limited to adam ba'ol ha'mamona. There's the other one?
There's the other
one. 1 second. Adam b'zeh ben kisa ben b'tzia. Kudavar ha'mutar lechatkhil b'chol davar. Okay. I don't know why mine didn't have that. Afilu b'no o chavero. Nosa lechavero. Malik ha'pachat pachat b'davar adam. Kumash esparat kachakomos. Ba'od ketutu l'toktah od amos. Chatkilo b'chol davar kishenlo afilu kishenlo shasatcha klal mutal adam b'talta which is ram b'tok dalan amos. Okay, this is a girsa ayin sham shnol hitir on the makom atchak mikan ra'in neged shakasa amar. Okay, very good. The truth is, Orchas Chaim, who was Rav Aaron HaKohen Miloniel, happened to have the girsa in the Rambam in Yad HaChazaka that it's mutter. Okay, the Orchas Chaim in Simen Reish Yud Ches has the girsa in the Rambam in Yad HaChazaka, not potur, but mutter. So that's consistent with the second tshuva, I guess. Pashto says that the Rambam would still, even in light of that tshuva, is that the Rambam is saying there's no Isur Drabanan per se, it's just the Gzeira, Shabi Avirana Da'od Amos versus Arabim, right? But what he's saying is, Lamaisa, that Gzeira only applies to Adam Shabahul al Mamono. But Mishena Bahul al Mamono, there's no Gzeira either. So on no grounds is there a basis for any kind of Isur. Okay, good. So that's important. I didn't see that other chip. Do you want to make a comment?
Yeah. Are we saying for this Rambam that even Molech Pachas Pachas Mekashir is a Kashir?
Even?
Pachas Pachas Mekashir?
What do you mean Kashir? I mean Davar Amos?
Pachas Pachas Mekashir?
That's what he's saying, isn't it? Unless you're Bahul.
Or is he just saying that in general, within Davar Amos, it's
Pachas Mekashir? I don't understand the difference. What does that mean?
One of them is when you're traversing many Davar Amos.
Oh, I see what you're saying. No, I mean we're talking about getting a metzia to the guy's house.
Right, but then the Rambam says back and says because in general people talk about Ramos is mutar chatchila, I think we should love shasatcha. That's not referring.
Oh, interesting. You think that's a reading? But you're saying like this: within Dalet Amos, if that's your end point, I mean Shulchan Aruch said both these things are asur.
That would be mutar chatchila.
And since that's muta lechatchila, so if you have any dochek whatsoever, and there's no bahal mamono, then you could. Is that what he's saying?
It sounds like kihua davar.
Kihua davar hamuta lechatchila b'chol davar.
Sounds like it's
called. That's going on
this Gemara, right?
Sounds like it.
Yeah. I think it would have been a good idea, but it definitely doesn't sound like that's what
it is.
Yeah.
You're reading that line is talking about even Shalobish Asatka?
Well, he's talking about Metzia. I thought you were trying to say is if a guy just wants to take something, he doesn't have any intention of going beyond the Dalet Amos in increments. He just wants to go.
How do you read the key?
The key to reading the key?
You don't have to go called Dalet.
But that there also you try to get it passed. Which is part of the Kamakamas.
When the Rambam mentions Shlobish Asatchak, it's only talking about within Dalet Amos. Whereas the first
after
I was talking about
Papa's Papa. Right, but he's saying even on that that's Mutalagari. What's a lot of the Papa Shasan Fakdalit? Yeah, Perkin Bez Allah Tatsvav. Mutala Adam Talda Bishasarabin or Potor?
I mean, the first case is still a case of Tzorach.
Right, but he still says that it's Mutter. He doesn't say...
Hare
ein hevdel b'zeh ki hu davar ha-mutter l'chatzkila b'chol davar. Doesn't sound that way. I like it. I like the idea, but it doesn't sound that way in the Rambam. Okay, so just to sum up, this is just a fascinating window into the way the Rambam read all the Gemaras all together. B, again, the Rambam is rejecting an obvious dual linear hierarchy, you know, in favor of a much more complex position, which he just thinks makes more sense, given the factors of the different Gemaras. Three, what emerges from it is that pachos mi dalet amos is no longer, you know, the worst case scenario from a certain point of view. And according to this formulation in this tshuva, it's actually a mutter legamri, as long as you don't have bahul al mamono, which, you know, again, doesn't make it usur per se, it just makes it a bigger gzera, shemi avirenu, daladamos, brishus harab. And that's a totally different picture than the picture that you get from reading the Gemara and from the other Rishon. Okay, excellent, good. Now it's late, let's start at least. So, David. Vava Med Aleph. Let's at least make a quick point. Let's just read a little bit for a couple of minutes, and then let's at least start talking about the Hagdara of Rishus HaRabim. Okay, Tan Rabbanan. Till then we did, pretty much, right? Okay. Agav, we're just skipping the line about Tzidah Rishus HaRabim. We'll get back to that. The Gemara here has a discussion whether Tzidah Rishus HaRabim is or isn't Rishus HaRabim. Right, the Ikech Lufufei, we'll get back to that, because we want to talk about Rishus HaRabim in general, we'll get back to that. But let's just start with the actual Shaka B'tari. Go ahead. Tana Bana. Okay. Wait, what did you say? No, Dawud Shusa the Shabbos. Isn't that what we were going to do today? What? Oh, okay, so let's see. Ellie, go ahead.
Tanarabana, Dawud Shusa Shabbos, Rishiyat, and Rishus Rahim, Karmelis, and Makator. These are Rishiyat, Fare, Shuam, Akiyot, Barakha Nalid, and Geder Shukavoy, Barakha Kalazui, Rishiyat, Shimura.
Yeah.
These are Rishus Rahim, Shatia, Flatia, Gitola.
Both what's a sratya? What's a platya?
Sratya is like a pathway between cities.
Like a highway, basically.
Yeah, highway.
Right.
Platya is like this big marketplace.
Yeah. So what do you think about that? Sratya and platya. I mean, it sounds like, you know, it almost sounds like the Balamar's family, right? No. Right. Brachya and Zrachya. But anyways, the sratya and platya, right? So what do you think about that? Like interchangeable terms or different? What?
I don't know, it sounds like they both seem to be places which a lot of people use.
So you could just say that there are two examples of places which are in which there's Hiluch Rabin. Right? One is the highway between cities, and the other is, you know, the big metropolitan area itself. Okay, that's certainly one way to understand it. Probably that's just the normal way to understand it. Okay. But, you know, that's what you think it is? You don't think that. What?
Now I'm second guessing myself.
I'm thinking, what was your natural? You thought Sracha and Placha were just, you know, two examples?
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. That's good for me. It gives me a little pause, because I was pretty sure that you were going to think differently. But that's good. You know, none of us should be predictable even in our unpredictability. Shy. Sracha and Placha are the same?
They can be three very different things.
Excellent. What do you mean by that?
That.
I mean, we're talking about a highway. No one lives in a highway. Right? Did I pressure you, or you really think that it might be two?
I
I do agree with Elliot, they do rhyme, so.
Right. That could go either way, though. I mean, did you ever meet the Balamor's brother? Yeah.
I did not.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, well, like one example is the Mishum Hazoi doesn't even make much sense with Platya. It doesn't have sides. How do you say,
well, okay, I'm not talking about technically. You understand
well,
that,
technically, one's a destination and one is a pathway that you just walk
through.
Yeah,
exactly. Meaning, Toby, what do you want to say? Right. Now, this one is a mokom shel hiluch v'hishtamshus harabim, you know, in one sense, in the sense of, you know, it's tashmish harabim, it's functional, you know, usage, etc. The other is a mokom, you know, sheyesh bo tzibur, if you will. Not necessarily. I mean, it could be that both are places of a tzibur. Lemaisa, a lot of people are to be found on highways, and a lot of people are found in the city. If you're talking about, you know, usage, a lot of people use the space of a city, and a lot of people use the space of the highways. I'm just saying that, you know, you don't think of a highway and a... They're both Mekomo Shel Arabim, I'm just saying. But I think what you're just saying, they're Mekomo Shel Arabim in a different way. One is Mekomo Shel Arabim because that's where Rabim live. People don't live in a highway. And the other is almost a purely, functional... idea. Yeah. Okay. I mean, it's a big area where there are, what I'm trying to say is the Platya is a big place where a lot of people congregate. And the Sraptya, the issue isn't so much, you know, how many people are congregating there at any particular point in time. It's the mass of humanity, put it away, that it attracts, that gives it Rishus Harabim quality. That's all I'm trying to say. I'm not specifically talking about the numbers yet, although I'm going to get to that in just a minute. But it's that's what it is. It's a place, you know, which attracts, you know, at a single time. It's a magnet or a location for Rabim. And Sraptya is more. It's used to, you know, to get from one place to another. It's public use or public thoroughfare, right? But you don't think of it in terms of necessarily, you know, how many people are there at a single point. Right. So in a way, Platya and Sraptya, right? Let's assume for a moment that they were. I mean, I have two options here. One is that they're very similar, and they're just interchangeable, or that they're two types or two models of Rishus Harabim. If they're two models of Rishus Harabim, it's kind of like this. One in terms of a usable place for anybody, and maybe also for everybody, right? The other, a mokom shel, tzibur, or kahal, etc. If we take the view that there aren't two mechayvim here, but there's one, so again, we should reassess platya in light of sratya, meaning, it's a mokom, it's a shuk, imale sokrim. We don't really care how many people are there at the time. It's like Sraptya, it's a place where, a lot of public business or usage gets done. Or the other way, Platya is Ikar, and Sraptya is, a lot of people use the highways. So if you count up the numbers or you look at the highways from that point of view, like we have this, image of people zipping by the highways, almost like, Kluta Kamishon Chadami. So, is it the nochut of the people within the precincts of the highways, or it's public thoroughfare? That's what it is. That's really what I'm asking. Okay. Well, we'll get back to this point.
We ask the same question about the Haritz and the Geder.
What?
We ask the same question about the Haritz and the Geder.
In Rishus HaYachid?
Yeah.
Because Rishus HaYachid is so defined by its technical structure, mainly an enclosed place, a private place of mechitzos, possibly. But again, there too, I think the question is, how do you want to say it? Do you want to say...
No, I'm just wondering, because it seems like it's just being Carol. And it's getting
oh, I see. I think there are... I don't know, just because Harichi, I think you want to show that there are two... you know, sorry, I think there are two elements in the Rosh Hashanah too, in the sense that one is where the mechitzos, you know, are surround, you know, the makom, right? And the other place where the mechitzos, right, are part of the makom. We already discussed a little bit, we were talking about, you know, Dalet al Dalet and Gudasik and those issues, you know, whether or not having mechitzos that are separate, you know, from the enclosed makom, you know, matters or not. So in that sense, that there might be a parallel that a charitz, you know, where the, or a tel, in a different way, right, where the, there's no separate mechitzos, you know, but that's just part of the structure. It's a structure that stands out, that isn't part of the Rosh Hasharabim, obviously, as opposed to one which is bound by something artificial called mechitzos. In that sense, I think there's a parallel. I don't think there has to be a parallel, but I hear it. Again, I don't think that this has to be true. I'm just pointing out, obviously, when you think about both Rosh Hashayachin and Rosh Hasharab, we've been talking throughout about functionality and structure, right, and things of that sort. Now that we're getting a little closer to it, it's obvious, you know, Makom Shel HaRabim, and what does that mean? You know, where Rabim are present, or that anybody could go, any individual could go there, belongs to everybody as much as it belongs to anybody. That's what Rosh Hasharabim is about. It's in the, you know, usage, it's in the presence. What exactly is it? Now, Rosh Hashayachid, obviously there's no issue of presence and there's no issue of usage. Right? Rosh Hashayachid, the questions are a little bit different. Is it about mechitzos? Is it about not being, you know, Rosh Hasharabim? You know, it's being something that's set apart. I think the questions are a little different. Somewhat parallels, some parallels, some not parallel. But I wanted to zero in Rosh Hasharabim just, at least initially, regarding this. Okay, let's continue. Sratya Platya Gedola, Umavos Mifulashin. Umavos and Mifulashin obviously are somewhere in between all of these, right? They're in the city, right? But they're roads, they're thoroughfares, like the Sratya. On the other hand, they're roads in the city. Right, they allow, you know, access throughout the city. So do we look at them as a sratya inside the ear, or more as, or maybe the third category, hard to know. But it's hard to know exactly what Mavos Ham Filoshin are. Rashi has an interesting comment, what he says about Mavos Ham Filoshin, what does he say? What does Rashi say about Mavos Ham Filoshin?
Which I read?
Yeah. Oh, actually, he says on Enum Filoshes, but okay, go ahead. Oh, does he? One second. What does he say? I'm sorry, yeah, correct. Liplatya. Right? So, why do you need, that's an interesting question too, why do you need that the Mufulash, that they be Mufulash to a Platya? That they can't be. A lot of the Achronim asks this question, that they can't be sasum, or that they can't, you know, be bounded by a Rosh Hashayachid, makes sense. Why do the Mavos HaMufalashim have to lead into the Platya? Right? Not all Rosh Hashanim agree. Right, we'll get back to this. So, it sounds like Mavos HaMufalashim here is based on some sort of a siruf to the Platya. Yeah?
Yeah, another case of Rashi also.
Yeah.
That's Sratya.
Not Platya, but Sratya. That would matter here also. Especially if we're considering the possibility that these are two different ideas. Okay, let's continue. Zun Rosh Hasharabim, Gemura, go ahead.
Rosh Hasharabim, Gemura. Imutim Rosh Hasharabim, Zu, Rosh Hasharabim, Zu, Inachnisim Rosh Hasharabim, Zu, Rosh Hasharabim, Zu. Vim Hutsi, Vihitnis, Kishogig,
Kishogig, Kavchatas.
Vimizir, Onish Karetz, and Israel.
Yeah. Neither. These are real Rosh Hasharabim, real Rosh Hasharabim. These are the consequences. Let's continue. Avayam, just quickly. Ubika. So this is something in between, right? You can't carry inside more than Dalet Amos. And we already discussed, but we have to discuss more. What exactly is a karmelus, a non-rishus? Is it have both elements of both? Is it its own rishus? How'd you get there? Also the battery?
Yeah.
Okay. Just make sure that, again, I don't need a neurologist. Just keep going. Vei machnisin.
Vei machnisin rishus yachad v'tzochad, alo v'tzochad rishus yachad, v'imot v'yet means patri.
Okay. Yeah.
Chatzir shal rabim bo she'inan mefulashim, irvu mutarin, lo irvu asur.
Okay, this is called Sedindra Abanan, right? Chatzir shal rabim, bo she'inan mefulashim, meaning the arishus hayachids, but you can't walk, you can't take from one to the other without an eruv katzeiros, right? Go ahead, Adam.
Adam omir al haskufa, no tam le balabayis, no tam le ani, no tam le vav, shabo yitzo le balabayis, no tam le ani, mi ani, no tam le balabayis.
Yeah. Vim natal.
Vim natal v'nasan shlosh tam p'tur.
Yeah. Acher momrim.
Acher momrim, haskufa mishamesh as bi'ir v'shuyos, zman shepetach p'tuach v'shuach v'kilof v'kilofnim, petach no kilofnim.
Okay, so these are, we're going to get back to all of these later on, but these are the basic categories of rishus. Actually, let's just go on just a little more, because I want to get in Midbar and Ya'ar. So just let's just go another, did you prepare this?
Yeah.
Okay, if you don't mind, just get it on the record so we can talk about it. Otherwise it becomes
problem.
Yeah. Meaning, what is his Kiddush? What is Rabbi Yehuda saying? We'll get back to this, of course.
You can somehow turn Rishus Rabin or Sari for Rishus Rabin in some way.
Well, I mean, basically, how many... What's he trying to say? That in order to accomplish Rishus HaYachid, it's enough to have...
just a hecker?
Well, or two mechitzas, basically, right? I mean, that's the Kiddush of Rabbi Huda. That's something which we need to examine very carefully. Is the machlokas Rabbi Huda and the Chachamim just about how many mechitzas you need, or the whole conception of how Rishus HaYachid really works? Right. And what do we require? Do you need four or three? Right? What do we require? Four or three? Four or three? Anybody?
It's not so clear. It depends what it's open into.
Okay, but in terms of Rishonim. Most Rishonim say you require three. And who thinks?
Rambam has a bit of a steer.
Rambam may think that you require four. We have to talk about that. Right? Okay. Let's continue. Umr lo. Now the Gemara wants to know what these Gemuras are, right? About the same. Okay, so Midrabanan, maybe there's something called a Miktsas Rishus, right? We have this in a number of Gemaras, to Mechalik between Lataltel and Lizrok. I mean, Lakula and Lachumra, basically. Okay, you can't do tiltul b'tocho, but if you're zorik mimenu from Rishus HaRabim, that would be chayiv. Meaning, lekula, we treat it as a karmelis, and lechomra, we treat it as Rishus HaYach. Okay, Amar Mar.
Amar Mar, zui Rishus HaRabim, lukim hanulute, idach de Rabbi Huda, tnan, Rabbi Huda omer, im haisadarach Rishus HaRabim,
mafsakasan.
He's like, can all
this
about?
What's this talking about? What's the case?
The case where they allow you to take your kli to the be'er as long as you have the...
Excellent. What's that called? Pasi biros, right?
Pasi biros.
We have the diyumdin, right? And you have these little kitty corner kind of things, right? And what happens if there's just a rabbin walk, you know, that interrupts with that? Go ahead. Oh, so then the Gemara says, this is what I wanted to get in,
V'lachshav Nami Midbar.
Why don't you count Midbar as a Rishus HaRabim? Right? Go ahead. Yeah. So basically, the Gemara suggests that Midbar depends on the time, right? Okay. So we don't have so much time. I just want to make one quick, just, you know, since we started with the Sriracha and the Palatya, and with two perspectives in general about what's going on, so I want to expand on that just a little bit. And I'd like to do that in the following, you know, hopefully simple way. So what's the story about a midbar, according to the Gemara?
Only when there's an abundance of people in it.
Ah. Ah, see, you fell right into my trap.
I guess Pasha is only when Yisrael was there.
Yeah, and that's for sure the reading of the Gemara according to almost all Rishonim. Right? Why do I say almost all Rishonim, Noach?
The Rambam.
The Rambam. Why?
Because he says that Midbar is your practically meant for Yisrael.
Exactly. You have the Rambam's language? Right, so the Rambam we wanted you to look at also, right? Perek Yud Dalid, Hilchos Shabbos Halacha Aleph. The Rambam, for some reason, quotes the Aros on Midbar. You have it, Yonatan?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Parvur Shabbos, Shabbos, Shabbat, Shabbat, Karmat, Machador, Hedra, Shabbat, Midbaros, Viyarim, Vishavakim, Udrachim, Vulashim, Lahim.
Yeah. Okay, no ceiling. You have wide Tezainama, right? But what's the ultimate, what's the paradigmatic Rosh Hashanah? Midbar and Ya'ar. Correct? Remember Rashi earlier, way back on Dav Gimel on the base? Right, this is like a noticeable Rashi. When the Gemara, when we were talking about the Yiboya Baya, Baya wanted to know whether Yodah Shaladam, which is Malaya Peros and is stuck in a different Rishus, is that a Karmelis or not? Right? That was the first time Rashi had to the opportunity to weigh in on what is a Karmelis. Right? So he says, the Gozer Rav Shus Medivrayim L'Shabbos She'osel Achnisim L'Otziyam L'Shiyokin Shesarabim Meshmok Karmelis Kedetani Bepirkin Na'od Rav Shus L'Shabbos Karmelis L'Shon Ya'aro V'Karmelo She'eino Lo Hiloch Tomid L'Rami V'Lo Tamish V'Tashmish V'Shus L'Yach. So Ya'ar for Rashi is the quintessential Karmelis, right? And according to all the Rishonim who read the, most Rishonim who read the Gemara here, that's Midbar and Ya'ar. They're Karmelis. Midbar is on the list. That's Bizman, Yisrael, Shruyim, the Midbar. And there were all those people, as you said, exactly what you said. When I said you stepped into my trap, I mean he really made a mistake. What I meant was, you know, that's a simple reading of the Gemara, and that's the way 90% of the Rishonim read. But according to the Rambam, that Midbar and Ya'ar are Rishus HaRabim, and they're the paradigmatic Rishus HaRabim, as you correctly said, Noach. So we have a very serious problem. So the Magen Mishnah asks this question. He says two things, right? Number one, it's against the Gemara, because the Gemara says only Bizman Shuriyim, Yisrael Bamidbar, in the time when the Rambam wrote, they were no longer Shuriyim Bamidbar, right? And number two, it just doesn't make sense, because that's a more important question the Magen Mishnah is asking, namely, why? Why doesn't it make sense? Because it's not, a Midbar is not a Makom Hilach Rabin. Right, Ellie?
Question on Rashi.
Yeah.
When Rashi quotes the plus of Yaro Carmelo, I thought he was only trying to show where the word Carmelo even comes from.
Oh.
And he says She'ino Logan he will come to Rabin. He's only referring to the Carmel, so She'ino, not She'ina. It sounds like Yari's not taking a position on whether it's a
Carmel. Oh, okay. I mean I was assuming too much, you're saying it's just a riot for the Pasuk, not for the, okay. Very good. Could be correct. I'll look at it again. But either way, the Pashtos, a Yar, which is a forest, is like a Midbar, right? You know, unless people happen to be, unless many, many, many people are living there, they're not living there, right? Okay. So what do we do about this Rambam? Noah?
Rambam and Rambam.
So this time, Rambam and Rambam, he was home, he was paying attention. Baruch Hashem, right? Like a good son should. Rabbi Avraham and Rambam. What does he say?
He says that Rosh Hashanah doesn't have to do with the presence of people, it has to do with the openness to people.
Exactly. You have the language of the Rav, the Kesemisha quotes it here, yeah. Right? Anybody have it? This is like a breakthrough of Avraham and Rambam. And by the way, right, what he said about, you know, Mefarik and Dash, you know, I'm not sure whether that's really what the Rambam meant, but he deserves a lot of credit for that one too. Hilchos Shabbos was Rabbi Avraham and Rambam's, you know, finest moment. Yeah, go ahead. Meaning the everybody thinks that Bika and Yam is because there aren't people there. They're not populated. So Rabbi Ram Ram says, no, that's not the point. The point is they're not Mokom, that's Noach or Patuach, right, or Tashmishe Rabim. The Yam and the Bika. But a Yar, everybody needs wood. Right? The world revolves around wood, not a whale. Right? Maybe wind, right? Go ahead. So how does the Rabbi Ram Aram read the Gemara? He says two things. He addresses both questions of the Magen Mishnah. It's against the sugya. It's against logic, because there's no Mekamos Rabim here. No?
You gotta flip it. You gotta say that Dora Midbar was a Carmelite.
Exactly. It's not against the Gemara. It's just he read the Gemara the opposite way that everybody else read it. He said, in the time of the Midbar, it's a little bit controversial. So on the contrary, if you read the Gemara that way, so what you're really saying is, in the time of the Midbar, there were too many people. You know, it was a clogged up Midbar. Right? There were too many people there for it to be useful or a place in which Biravacha, people could come and you know, exercise, you know, the rights of any individual to a public space. Like, is it a public space if everybody lives there? There are too many private people there. Now, it's hard to know. So the Rambam would say if you have an ear or something, it's hard to know. It's hard to think that. Maybe it's a midbar, so if it's a midbar and it's clogged, so, you know, that combination, or a yar and it's clogged, you know, so that combination is not good. Maybe if you have like a natural population center which people can also, you know, be mishtabish bo, the shame kolechad's usage, maybe that's a different matter. But either way, this is a sensational, not only reading of the Gemara and its implications, but especially conceptually, right? Perspective on the Rambam of what Rishus HaRabim is. So going back to what I said before about Sratya and Platya, right, in light of the Rambam, right? So it's not exactly the same thing, but in this direction, meaning, you know, is our tendency always to think of Rishus HaRabim is the place Mokom Diras HaRabim, and that may very well be true, and for many Rishonim it probably really is true, right? Or, even if it isn't Diras HaRabim, as Itamar correctly pointed out, Makom, you know, Kibbutz, HaSokhrim, etc., according to Rashi at least. So, but, you know, the point is a place where there's a mass of humanity. Right? The mass of humanity aspect is what defines as Rishus Sharabim Nimtzayim Shav, a place of the masses. Right? But another way to look at Rishus HaRabim, and here the question becomes, two mechayvim, two different ideas, and are there nafkaminas? Or are there just two different ideas but they're equal? Or, you know, or is this one idea and we have to readjust in either direction, right? The sratyas of this world are not places of mass humanity. They're just places where anybody can use a public highway, and it's a thoroughfare. Right? It's not a place of necessarily, again, some highways are places of mass humanity. Other places are just Mokom Sholishtamshus Arabim. And maybe the point is not so much mass transit in the sense of, you know, how many people use it, but the fact that everyone could use it. Yeah.
Yeah, the Rambam works out very nicely. Because in Pesham Shnayas he also mentions Midbar.
Excellent.
And he says that it's a Rishus Arabim, but it's Mokom Shigidra Chubo Tovam.
Kolham. I mean, anybody. Not everybody at the same time.
And then he defines Rosh Hashanah by saying it's Mokom She'in Dorchen Bo Radim. Al Tanai that has Mechitzos. But he's almost defining Rosh Hashanah by not having access for Radim.
In Dorchen Bo Radim.
Rashi Rosh Hashanah is Mokom She'in Dorchen Bo Radim. Which is against, and Mishnah doesn't have that, and it's strange, but usually Rosh Hashanah is justified by Mechitzos, not by the lack of access for Radim.
Right. And then you have to figure out what if you have both. So let me just take it a step further, and this is not only my horror. I thought it was my horror, but I think other horror make this horror as well. And that is, maybe somebody just wanted to make the horror. Yeah, what do you want to say?
I thought that, just building on what Gemara said, the Rambam flips the order from the Gemara.
Yeah.
The Gemara first talks about Rosh Hashanah and then Rosh Hashanah.
Correct. That I want to speak about a lot also.
Like the Gemara's point that Rosh Hashanah might be defined by the Rosh Hashanah, and you could say that's
very good. All right, it's a good hara. Excellent. That's number one. Let's speak about one other issue since we have to stop. The other issue I wanted you to look at, which was, what was the other issue I wanted you to look at? Yelsi? What other Mar Makomas did you scrutinize? What topic? What's missing in the Brisa?
I was
going to
say
Shishiribo, right?
Tosus Rid,
what?
Tosus Rid, maybe?
What do you mean, Tosus Rid?
Who thinks that you adopted Shishiribo in the city, but the wilderness.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that. Well, that's really kind of. It's also a little bit of a suggestion of the Ramban. 100%. Tosus Rid as well.
Yeah.
But before we even get to that, let's make just two quick points. Again, we have to finish in a couple of minutes. But. At least we're a little underway. Shishim Ribo, of course, that's for the practical issues of Eruv. Of course, Shishim Ribo is what constitutes a Rishus HaRabim, which makes it difficult to use, Tzuros HaPesachs and create an Eruv. The big problem is always the question of Shishim Ribo, right? So, and the more you require, in addition to, the physical, dimensions, let's say, of Rosh Hashanah, Tezayin, Ama, Rochav, maybe Mefulashin, that is also Mishar L'Shar, or Chuvanin, whatever that is, then it's not so difficult to create Rosh Hashanah, obviously. Second, you require also, and then we need to know what we mean by this, Shishim Ribo all the time, Shishim Ribo in one place, Shishim Ribo occasionally. Once you need Shishim Ribo, it's much more difficult to define Rishus HaRabim. And then the possibility of making Eruvin in non-Rishus HaRabims, becomes significantly increased. Anyways, I'm not interested in that part of it right now, obviously. I'm just interested in the issue itself, Shishim Ribo. So what's fascinating about Shishim Ribo is that it doesn't appear in the Gemara, right? Who is particularly struck by that? Hanan? Get a chance to see? Jonathan?
Tosus on Bob brings it in.
Who is struck by the fact that it doesn't appear in the Gemara? And impressed by that, and bothered by that. You know what
I'm saying?
The Ramban, 100%. Why so tentative?
I didn't see the Ramban inside, I just saw the Bagi Mishnah.
Oh, okay. So the Ramban on Nun Tes, Amud Aleph, right? Is that the right thought? Was very bothered by this. Right? And even before we get to the Tosus Rid, but you're absolutely right, but the same idea, kind of, we'll see in a moment, is suggested by the Ramban. I'm just going to take another 2 minutes to develop this. On the Nun Tes Amud Aleph, Ramban quotes Rashi, the mother talks to Irshal Yachid, the Nasa Shal Rabin, the Pirsh Rashi, Irshal Yachid, Hainu Sheimba, Shisham Riba B'nei Adam, the Karle Shal Yachid, Sheimba Rishus HaRabin. Right? The Tesha Amma Muatim, the Lodam of the Digle Midbar, the Nasa Shal Rabin, Shini Tosub of the Urin. It's a very important Ramban for many reasons. Right? Ela Beir Sheishba Shishim Riba. But lo yadanu minayin lo l'Rashi came. Where did Rashi get this from? Shalahuska b'talmud shumbakom. He does admit that Rashi isn't the first one to come up with this. Aval b'halakos, you talk about Rashi, certainly on Nun Tesmanal, but even earlier the Rashi, which I told you to look at in Erevin, on Balum and Aleph. Aval b'halakos gedolos nimtzachein, or hadavar talud bilanos gedolos, meaning there's a lot of support for this idea. But u'mikomokom anu tmeim imkein b'tchilas masechet Shabbos, he's writing this from Erevin and Tesmanal Aleph, right? So it's even a stronger question. Sheshanu b'brayis arba rishuyos l'shabbos heich lo amur sratya platya gedola umavos amufulashos zeh rishus rabim gemura behu sheyavru sham shishim ribo inami listeni b'karmelis yamu bika v'istadnis mokum she'im bo shishim ribo. That's also fascinating, right? Is shishim ribo a requirement of rishus rabim or just a hafka of karmelis? Also interesting, right? The chitema b'mekomos kamayri b'inshil amayri. Our sugya here in Shabbos is talking about mekomos, right? Meaning the structure, not the population. He said that's not true. Hitmar hasam, but listen, I'm in midbar. Very interesting. Ezum shusarabim stratya platya gedolim b'vosim p'lashim b'midbar. B'tartzina nam rabbi lo kasha kamizman shayusra b'midbar kamizman azeh. Alma b'dayarin nami ayrina b'braisa. Is he so sure that midbar is about dayarin? Right? Maybe it's also about, you know, accessibility and structure and so on. Oh, midkamrina, likely. Midkamrina ba midbar b'zman she Yisrael sham avrishus harabim u'bizman azek karmelis michal v'ir v'istritos afa b'shein b'm shishim ribo avrishus harabim kibim shadrachim kibushin b'nei adam over b'hem v'tamid midbar mishim shein sham derech kibusha v'lo m'chavenes leilek v'lo m'shumako v'damid l'bika shum rishus hayachin v'shabbos. Right, and so we'll speak more. The Shema Das HaRishonim Lomar Sha'istaria Shehi Kavusha Chutzla Yaros Sohochim Imenu Me'ir Le'ir Medina Le'medina Ad Sof Kal Olam Ein Medak Tekim Baba Over Nala Shishim Ribo the Kula Almahu Avot Tocha Ir Ein Sham Rishus HaRabim Below Shishim Ribo Tetehavik Adigale Midbar. And then he says, "Begam zein a mechubar." That's exactly what Noach tells us. Read. So basically, this suggestion, basically, the Ramban is saying, is why isn't this in our sugya? Why isn't it in the Gemara anywhere? Obviously, the answer to the other Rishonim is it's like it's so basic and implicit, you know, that like Tosa says, it's that's the Mishkan, that's the Degalei Amidbar. Right? Well, we'll talk more about what the Ramban's suggestions are and so on. But the Ramban is saying this should be here. And then he's saying, and maybe there are two dinim. If we're talking about a highway or a mokom shimush harabim that anybody has access to could use at any point in time and so on, you don't need shishim ribo. Only when you're talking about a confined place, which you're defining as a harabim in terms of its population, only then do you require shishim ribo. That's a suggestion, and he's docha that. And that's what Tosfos Reed actually suggests. So again, those are two different concepts of Rishus HaRabin. A Sratya and a Platya type of Rishus HaRabin. Are there other Nafkamina? Or just the Maisa, you know, the Shimush Rabin in one case makes it Rabin, and the Chlusya or Tzibor Shal Rabin in the other case. But with this we'll finish. I just want to make the point. So who omits Shishim Ribo? The Rambam, right? And it's not like a brisa, and you could say it's implicit, because the Rambam's writing a code, right? So the fact that the Rambam omits Shishim Ribo, right, which made him, you know, the big problem for the people who advocate Erevin, but that aside for the moment, conceptually for the moment, it's good for us, right? Because if the Rambam thinks that Ya'aros and Midbar know our dafka rishus harabim bizman hazeh, there's certainly no shishim ribo there, right? But more than that, as the eminent son Rabbeinu Avram, the Rambam's in this particular case, I think he really got Peirush correct.
if the mechayiv of Midbar and Yar isn't, you know, the mass of humanity that is there, but it's makom patuach v'shimush l'kol adam, right? So then the numbers are irrelevant. It's out of the Gemara, right? It happened to have been in the Mishkan, but as Ramban addresses, he said, well, it was in the Mishkan, right? He says, yeah, and are you going to say only a tzibur that's between age 20, how does it go with the Midbar? Between 20 and what? 20
and 60.
It's got to be 20 and 60, right? Yeah, that's what he says, actually. He says, what are you going to say? Only 20 and 60 count for Shishim Rebo, which is my way, like what I always say. Well, it's not as bad as what I always say. When I say, oh, and it was raining that day, and he was wearing a yellow, bow tie, right? Meaning, and where are you going to draw the... Meaning, it's okay to wear Shishim Rebo, but that has nothing to do with it being Rishus HaRab. Now, the truth is, you could say that a population between 20 and 60, you know, isn't raining that day, but it's more, well, you know, that if there's a 600,000 people between 20 and 60, that reflects like a certain quality, you know, of population. If you're like a census person, you know that having a certain, you know, number within a certain age thing reflects, you know, a certain type of population as well. So I, you know, it's not fair for me to say that the Ramban is being totally dismissive, but the Ramban is saying there's no such halacha, and it's not the Mishkan. But for the Rambam, it's more than that. Basically, it's inconsistent with what Rishus HaRabim is all about. But for Rashi, who in Eiruvin does introduce Shishim Rebo, right? And the Bali tells us and others. So are there two dinim? Right? Or it's all about the population and the use of the population. So that's what I want to investigate next time, the different formulations of Shishim Rebo and Sracha and Platya and Mevos and Mefiloshin. Again, we'll do some Rishus HaRabim stuff first, but then we'll go back to Rishus HaYachid, Carmelis, and Makom Ketura. Just so regards to your father.
Father, yeah.
I know your grandfather for a long time.